Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone, welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 1108. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me on this episode of Gamertag Radio is Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How you doing, man?
Good, good. And I hear you were saying you like talking to your family about hip-hop and so on. You should mention to your fam, especially your son, to listen to like artists like Nas, Biggie, Pac.
No, that's what I was doing. That's exactly what I was doing. I was just naming off just the whole 90s roster of legends that came out of there that just kill anything that you would hear in hip hop today. Challenge me. I dare you to tell me any artist that's out right now that could compete with that roster from the 90s, man, because they're still good today compared to artists now. But anyways, this ain't a hip hop show. I will say this to people listening or watching. On Netflix, go check out Hip Hop Evolution. It's a great history of hip hop, just showing you from its origins, just going through 80s, 90s, 2000s and all that of all these different artists. Give you a nice lesson about hip hop and why it's so good. And then that, it's not on Netflix anymore, but that Stretch and Bobbito documentary, woo! Oh my God, thing is so freaking good, dude. I don't know where you can find it now, but if you can find that, watch that. Yo, so freaking good. That's hip hop, man. So good.
Yeah. It's out there. You can find it like in other platforms. But also last week, Biggie's documentary came out. Biggie got a story to tell. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. It's really good.
That too.
Yeah. All right. Head over to Gamertag Radio. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Follow us. Subscribe. Post a review. It'll help us out a lot. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail discussion, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, we have a lot of things here to talk about for this news this week. But let's start with this, because we've been talking about this now for, my God, it's been months now since last year. The Microsoft Cinemax acquisition is official, man. A large investor has changed the status of their stake now from active to realized, meaning their stake has been acquired. So that's here in the States. In Europe, I think the last thing I read over there, they were still working it out, and I think it's official now from last week. I'm not 100% sure from Europe, but I know the States is totally official. When do you think Microsoft is officially going to make this announcement of, like, we're going to have a press conference and all that stuff? Do you think it's going to be anytime soon, this week, in the future?
This week.
Why do you think it's this week?
Because.
And why do you think it makes sense to do it now and not wait?
Well, if you check out the latest episode of Major Nelson, at the very, very end, he talks about having some guests and some special surprises on his next episode, but he doesn't want to jinx it yet because it's still not 100%. All I'll say is this. If you go watch the video, Jeff Rubenstein is deadpan into the video, giving you no hints about nothing. Obviously, this Bethesda news is coming. We've seen the rumors with Jeff Grubb. Jeff Grubb, even on Twitter, was kind of laying out what he thought potentially was going to happen, that they would basically have an announcement, kind of discuss what the future with Xbox and Bethesda is going to look like. Probably Bethesda would still operate independently through E3 just because it's so close, which makes a lot of sense. And all that stuff is probably coming very soon. Again, we've talked about this a million times. As soon as the ink dries on that, you got to think they want to get out in front of this as quickly as possible and set expectations. Again, that's what it's all about. It's setting expectations. And again, we can argue what's exclusive, not exclusive all day. Whatever it is they're going to do, just tell us. Tell us, let us know, so then we know moving forward what to expect from Xbox and Bethesda games. And it's really that simple. So yeah, I do think, like you said, it sounds like on the US side, it's already been finalized. The EU would have been on March 5th. We don't know the outcome either way yet, but it sounds like we're pretty close. It sounds like we're in the 90th percentile right now of this being complete. So maybe there's a few I's to dot and T's to cross. And once that happens, I think they're going to start talking about it as soon as they can. You got to think of it again. Think of it logically. They know it's close. I guarantee you privately, they've already been preparing Xbox Wire to go out, detailing stuff. Like I said, if Major Nelson, because it would be smart. You get Major Nelson, have Phil come on, get Todd Howard, Pete Hines, people like that, and just have a discussion. Talk about it. Get it out of the way. Maybe then afterwards, maybe Pete Hines or whoever can then start going on, you know, various platforms like IGN, maybe Gamertag Radio, you never know, and start talking about, you know, in more detail about what Bethesda is going to do now that they're a part of Xbox, right? So I think it's going to happen. It just makes sense. It just makes sense to get this out of the way as soon as possible. So I would say as soon as this week, literally going off of the hint that Major Nelson got, could be 100% wrong. If not this week, I would say within the next 2 weeks, they're going to finalize this thing and announce whatever it is they're going to do.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think that Microsoft, and I can hear myself, Paris, for some strange reason. I think my volume is so loud.
Oh my God, I literally hear like a freaking mouse because you say you can hear stuff. I barely even hear you talk.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's the mic is so sensitive. Don't worry, that will change in the future. That's all good. All right. So I think we had this conversation in the past, and I want Microsoft just straight up say, this is exclusive, this is not exclusive, Game Pass, day one, move on. And that's it. There's gonna be people gonna be upset, of course, that's gonna happen. But it's part of the business. But look, if Nintendo and Sony has been aggressive for so long with their exclusive and their announcements, why not Xbox? Just go for it, man. You know, I think sometimes Xbox is trying to do the whole kumbaya, hey, everything is all good. And look, it's a business. People need to understand that, man, and just move forward and announce it. There's no confusion. There's no debates, no theories. Like, this is it. Move on, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't like the whole, well, they can't say anything just yet because of the business sides and paperwork and all that stuff. That part I completely understand. But yo, just be straight up to the consumers. And that's it. You know, I think a lot of people got used to the whole Minecraft being available on all platforms, certain games like Ori and Cuphead on the Switch. I think people got used to that. So now they're thinking, oh, it's Bethesda? Oh, it's going to be available everywhere else. I think that's the confusion part about the whole thing, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think when we've talked about this a million times, so I'll be glad when we can stop talking about it. But excuse me. But since this has come up since September, since the acquisition, everyone keeps pointing back to Minecraft. Well, Minecraft's on PlayStation. Well, why wouldn't Bethesda games? Again, Minecraft's perpetual. We talked about it a million times. But yes, one-off things like Ori and Cuphead and all that, I understand that. Double-A stuff, you're going to see potentially show up there. But the big ones, it just doesn't make sense for them to still allow those games to be on the PlayStation platform or to show up on the Nintendo Switch. They're going to keep them in the Xbox ecosystem. Again, I try to keep it as simple as I possibly can with my thinking on this. Those Bethesda games will show up wherever Game Pass is. Just think of it that way. So that means on Xbox hardware, PC, mobile devices, and xCloud via smart TV apps. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's where you're going to see that stuff. That allows them to reach 3 billion gamers that they're trying to reach right now, because you're giving them a place to play on their quote unquote platform of choice. Now you could say, well, my platform of choice is PlayStation. And then they're going to counter where when we say platform of choice, we mean console. Excuse me, go buy an Xbox. That's what they're going to say. And again, it's business. And I know we got a voicemail that talks about exclusives and all that. We can get into that a little more in depth later. But This is business. They're going to be ruthless with this because You don't spend $7.5 billion to keep stuff the same. There's going to be disruption. There's going to be change.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go to the next topic because we talked about the
million times.
So let's have a move on. Now, Paris, I know there's been discussion about a new Nintendo Switch model planned with a bigger screen, 4K output. I know there's been discussions about this for, I think, like over a year now, mm-hmm. which I think is the right time for Nintendo to release a new Switch. Now, here's the thing. I think the majority of people that have a Nintendo product doesn't really care much about if it's 4K or not. Because look at the Switch. It's selling like crazy, and it's not 4K. So, but I know there's going to be a small group of consumers that do care about that. What I want is, if they release a new Switch, I want this to have better battery life, man. Maybe a bigger screen. I think that would be nice. But the 4K part, I don't really care much about that. Now, I am worried, is the games that you download digitally, are there going to be a bigger size now because of the whole 4K is similar to like Xbox and PlayStation, right? But what do you think about that? Like Nintendo finally announcing a new product later this year.
Sorry, just catching my voice here real quick. I apologize. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. This is, you know, worst kept rumor ever. We knew a Switch Pro was eventually coming, whatever they're going to wind up calling it. And I'm excited for it. Bigger screen. You know, better battery life, potentially, Joy-Cons are improved. This is something that I absolutely will go get day one, just for the quality of life improvements that Switch Pro potentially could provide. The fact that there might be some exclusive games on it, I guess we'll see how that plays out. There is definitely precedent with Nintendo doing this back in the DS days. They made some games that worked on the DS. I forget which version of the DS that didn't work on older versions of the DS. So that doesn't surprise me either. But going back to the whole 4K thing, I get it. They're talking about in dock mode. It's going to be able to do 4K. Personally, for Nintendo devices, I just simply don't care about that. It's not a prereq for me. I was talking about this with Greg on Kind of Funny Daily when the news announced. I'd rather them have a 1080p, but every game's at 60 frames. I think frame rate would matter more to me in that scenario than actual resolution. But either way, it's fine. I know there's going to be some developer issues potentially, you know, having to scale from 720p, you know, portable all the way up to 4K. I'm sure Nintendo's obviously, you know, one of the best developers out there. I'm sure they've, you know, figured out whatever magic they need to do to make that a reality. So we'll see how it plays out. I'm more interested to see if this does come this year versus next year. Because I think if it's next year, you can almost guarantee it'll launch day and date with Breath of the Wild 2. I don't think Breath of the Wild 2 is coming this year. So with that said, what would be the game that Nintendo would launch alongside whatever this is? Is it a new Mario Kart? I mean, who knows? I mean, we'll obviously see. Maybe these are the other Zelda remakes potentially that are coming. I don't know. But whatever it is, and we'll obviously see what the price point is. I'm guessing probably around like $350 or something like that. But for me, it's something I definitely want to get day one, just to have the bigger screen and a better battery life more than anything.
Yeah, and also the D-pad, I think if you have the regular Switch, the one that we have, I see in the background too for you and mine, I don't like the D-pad for this, for the Joy-Cons. It's like buttons. I don't like that. I want a regular D-pad. It's similar to the Nintendo Switch Lite, which is like perfect, right? Because right now, this is how I play the Switch. I play with this, with the Pro Controller. That's how I play all my games, especially next week.
Yep.
They're releasing Apex Legends. I'm excited for that. Play that on the Switch, you know? So I want to see more of that, right? Now, I know you mentioned about exclusive games that's only going to be available for that device. Do you think it's the right time for Nintendo to say, let's make believe. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but let's say Breath of the Wild 2 is only going to be available on the Nintendo Switch Pro. I think that's a bad move for the
Nintendo. That would be because, you know, you're not going to, again, they ain't going to be able to make enough of these things in the short term as it is. I think big games like that, no, you'll see those still playable on the original mm-hmm. Switch. Yeah, again, pretend if they were to do that, I think that would be a huge mistake for them. maybe something like what? Because that new Splatoon they said was 2022 as well, right? Didn't they already say that? Mm-hmm. Maybe something like that. I don't know.
Give it some time.
It's not like Nintendo, a ton of their games, they just all of a sudden make exclusive. There's a few exceptions to the rule. It's almost like how we're looking right now in the current console generation on Xbox and PlayStation. Ratchet and Clank is going to be PlayStation 5 only because it's taking full advantage of the hardware, right? Whereas Horizon Forbidden West is going to be on PlayStation 4. Or, you know, like the Medium is Xbox only, right? But then Halo Infinite is going, or Series X only, but Halo Infinite is going to be on Series X and Xbox One, right? So I could see Nintendo doing something like that as well, potentially, especially if the goal here is whatever this new version of the Switch is going to be is to ultimately replace the old version of the Switch. And again, I don't think in the next couple of years it will, but you know, Nintendo with their hardware, they would, if they're putting out this Switch Pro, whatever they're going to call it, but they're putting out this new Switch, they're going to expect this thing to have legs for the next probably 6 or 7 years, right? Being out there. So maybe we'll start to see them stop making the old Switch and then just continue to make this new one. But still, all this stuff is still speculation. Nintendo's confirmed nothing. This is obviously all rumor and speculation on how they're going to handle this. So we'll probably have to wait until this summer, potentially, to see what Nintendo's really going to do and what the roadmap's going to look like.
Yeah, I know you mentioned about the DS having exclusive games. I think it was the new 3DS because I got that
one. Yeah.
But it was the new games. It was a very small amount of exclusive games. So I think it's going to be the same thing with this version. It's going to have a very small group of like exclusives available for that console. Because think about it, man. The majority of the people have the regular Switch, and second, the Switch Lite. So third-party developers are going to work on games for that because they want the bigger audience. That's more money for the company. But if you only create for that new Switch Pro and that's it, I think you're going to lose a lot of money, man. Like, it's not going to be enough, yeah. I think.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't think they're doing that. I really don't. I think there are so many Switches out in the ether right now that there's no way they're going to try and alienate that customer base, because they're going to want all those people that already have a Switch to keep buying games. As an example, I have three Switches in my house right now. My youngest daughter literally just got the Switch Lite. There's no way you're going to tell me that all of a sudden that thing's not relevant anymore for her to play some of the newer games that come out. That doesn't mean they're not going to do that. There's no way.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go straight to one of my favorite parts of the show, Paris, is fan mail. I love answering questions to the fans. Remember, please send us questions. The more questions you send, the more content we create. But it's all up to you, the listeners, you know. We've been getting questions here and there, but I've been saving them. So it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we're going to play this voicemail. Of course, it's from the homie Keon. Shout out to him, man. Let's play it.
Hey, what's going on, Gamer Tag Radio? I hope you brothers are doing well. Shout out to y'all, too. The interviews, Danny, that you've been getting, brother, have been amazing. What a heck of a way to start out 2021. But what I was calling for is I was listening to the latest episode of the show, and Paris was saying that he would like games to be on every platform. And I know he said it would never happen, and yeah, I would disagree. I think that would be the worst thing to happen for gaming. If every game went to every platform, what would be the incentive of buying that certain platform? I do think that exclusives have a place in the industry. I think it does bring value to the console. I think it does give you incentive to buy that certain console. And I think that it helps with the competition as well. Wasn't it Phil Spencer, I believe, that said that the success of Horizon Zero Dawn actually inspired him to bring back Fable or something like that? So, yeah, I understand what you meant, Paris. And you know, I respect you, brother. I think you're great, man. But yeah, I would have to disagree. I think that exclusives matter. I think that they matter on a competition level, and they give the console its own identity. But with that being said, though, man, you guys are fantastic. I always respect y'all. I love the show. And with that being said, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, Paris. So that was King. Shout out to him. Thank you for the voicemail, man. Yeah, man, Paris, not good. I think it's important to have exclusive in gaming, which I agree.
But that's
look,
not
man,
what I if, said. But that's not I what know, I said. That's
I
not
know,
what
but,
I said.
I know, but can I finish? Jesus Christ.
Well, he wasn't talking to you. He was talking to me, so I was going to answer it.
But I was going to, you know what? Go for it. Go. I was gonna say sorry.
Please continue. I'm just being an a-hole.
I know. But I'm saying, like, if you go way back, Paris, when we started playing games, when there was like exclusive games like the Nintendo, NES system, Sega, even Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, it was exciting to just buy that console because you have those favorite games, right? And I get it. If you start releasing all these games for all platforms, then what is the purpose of buying a console? Because if it's available everywhere, you know what I'm saying? So I know you didn't want to. I know you were not trying to say that. I know that. But, you know, for the him and even other listeners that think that you were saying that, what do you have to say to them about it?
Yeah, like I was saying, that obviously that wasn't the point I was trying to make. But, you know, thank you for the feedback. All I was saying it as a gamer, as me, I really could care less if I play it on PlayStation, ColecoVision, Xbox, or whatever. I just want to play great games. It's not about, well, it has to be on Xbox or it has to be on PlayStation. Yes, what Keon is saying, from a business standpoint, exclusives are necessary because this is a business. They're trying to make money. They're trying to do things to get you on their platform, right? So that's the whole point of exclusives, which, again, we talked about at the top. That's the whole damn point of Xbox acquiring Bethesda. That's why PlayStation is the leader, because I can just rattle off the top of my head probably 10 must-have exclusives they have on that platform, right? So, yeah, trust me, I get it. As kids, obviously, you know, we ain't had no money. I had Nintendo. My best friend had the Sega Genesis. We used to go back and forth to each other's house to play the exclusive games that were on each one, right? So I understand the whole point of that. But again, I'm talking as a gamer, just me playing games, having fun playing games. I don't care about exclusives. And in my opinion, no gamer should care about exclusives. What do you get out of it? It's like, let me bring up this point, because I was being Twitter dad the other day. So I, with this Bethesda thing, let's go back to that really quick for a second. I've seen a lot of Xbox fans getting super excited about it and literally talking on Twitter about how they can't wait until it's final so they can rub it into the PlayStation guys. That's literally the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard in my life. Who cares? If you have it on Xbox, you already know you're getting all the games. You're good. Game one, Game Pass, and all that kind of stuff. Why are you going to go rub it in the face of someone else? It's silly stuff like that that keeps this whole console war nonsense going on. As a gamer, you already won. You win. Now, if I'm a PlayStation person only, now I got to make a decision. If I want to play those games, do I want to go on Xbox, or do I just not care anymore? But I would say, as a gamer, if I love Elder Scrolls, if I can only play it on Xbox, then guess what? I'm going to go get it on the Xbox so I can go play it. Just like I love Ratchet and Clank, just like I love Spider-Man, just like I love Uncharted. Guess what? Those are on PlayStation, so I go to PlayStation to go play those games. But the business, it's a business reason that we have exclusive games. But as a gamer, shouldn't care. Just play them wherever you want to play them if they're available there. And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and honestly, all this console war stuff happened because of Sega versus Nintendo back in the early 90s. They were the one that started this whole marketing of like Sega this and Nintendo no and this and that, whatever. So that's how everything started. Because we were young. We had no idea what was going on back then. We were just fans. But once we started getting into the business and being part of the industry for so long, yo, after a while, like it's childish, man. Just going back and forth and like you're saying, going online and just trying to trash someone just because they like a certain console. This is just ridiculous. Come on, man. Just enjoy gaming. We have so many options nowadays, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't have this amount of selections of games and consoles. Back then, it was very small. It was only like, what, two or three?
You get like one consoles. Or two games a year. That's it. That's all you get.
Inexpensive. $70 back in the days, yeah, man. Look, man. I remember this, man. I had a Super Nintendo. I was a hardcore Super Nintendo fan. Hardcore, right? Back in the early 90s. And I went to my friend's house, Paris, right? And he's like, oh, man, I want to show you my Sega Genesis. I got some cool games. And I'm like, yeah, let me see. And I was like, ah, whatever. Super Nintendo in my head. I'm like, yo, whatever. Yo, first game that he showed me on the Sega Genesis that blew my mind was Streets of Rage, the first one. I was like, yo, that's the music of the game? And then he goes, oh, I have one more. You know, I'm a huge fan of Mario, Super Mario World and everything, right? He showed me Sonic, the first Sonic for Sega Genesis. I was like, the water graphics in the background.
Amazing.
I was like, what?
Amazing, yes.
So, yo, we were like you were saying, that reminded me of back in the days. I will go to my friend's house. I'll lend him my Super Nintendo with all my games. He will lend me his Sega Genesis games and his console. He will lend me Shinobi, Streets of Rage, Sonic, and a couple other ones. I'm like, oh, Ultra Beast, all that. Dude, that's the beauty part, man. Of, yeah, it's exclusive, but yo, I was just having discussions and sometimes debates, fun debates with my friends, man. You know, and I miss those days. Now it's like people are making it seem it's like a gang.
Yeah, it's like they make it personal. It's like, dude, it's video games. Enjoy them. Yeah. Again, not to get all preachy on that stuff, but I say it on Twitter all the time. If the people that have this ownership of platform spent more time actually playing the games instead of talking about it online, I think they'd be better off. I mean, really. Mm. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And again, we don't need to go on all that too much. But no, I mean, back to the exclusive thing. I mean, it's just, look, exclusives are part of the business. We get it. That's why there's all this anticipation to see what Xbox is truly going to do with Bethesda and how all that's going to play out, right? Because that is big news. It is big news. It is industry disrupting if all those Bethesda IPs are exclusive to one platform. So that's why we're talking about it from a business standpoint. As a gamer, again, I play on all of them. So the way I look at it is, honestly, it doesn't matter what Xbox does because I have an Xbox, I have a PlayStation, I have Game Pass. I'm going to play those games anyways. But I think the news is going to be more important for people that are not convinced about Xbox, that aren't invested in the Xbox ecosystem. If those games are taken away from them because they only play on PlayStation or Nintendo, now they got to make a decision. And again, that's the whole point. Xbox is trying to disrupt the industry to attract more people to invest into their ecosystem. But only you get to decide if you want to do it. Only you get to decide how you spend your money. And that's just simply how you have to look at it. If Starfield is amazing and you're like, my God, I got to play Starfield, and you can only play it on Xbox, then so be it. You're going to figure out a way to go play it, right? That's just how it works. We go to where the amazing games are. If there are amazing games on Xbox, you're going to play them on Xbox. If there are amazing games on PlayStation, you're going to play them on PlayStation. Nintendo, ColecoVision, Vectrex, on down the line, even in television. If there's great games, you're going to go where they are and you're going to go play them. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question because I was thinking about this the other day. Because this is, I think this is going to change the industry. I think once it's official. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, what news from like something like this, what news from back in the days completely changed the industry that's similar to this? I think the only thing I could come up with, unless you have other ones, when Sega decided to go multi-platform. I don't know what other news. That was a big deal
when that happened. God, yeah, I'm trying to think.
Second, I think maybe Madden having the NFL exclusive rights was a big one.
Yeah.
When, because 2K was going back and forth with EA Sports, you know, I think that was big. I'm trying to think, Rare going to Xbox.
Xbox, yeah, I was just thinking of that one too.
You know?
But you know what? And it's funny. Obviously, the industry is completely different right now. But think about that one. If it happened now, that Rare went from being exclusive on one platform to the other. That would be huge news right now if that happened. Like if Nintendo bought back Rare and all of a sudden Rare was on Nintendo, we'd all be tripping. Oh my God, are they going to bring Banjo back? Now Rare can make Donkey Kong Country. Oh, we'd be losing our minds, you know? So yeah. I think it's a different place we're in now. Obviously, the stakes are higher as far as financials go with purchasing the stuff. But yeah, the more I'm thinking about it, I can't think of anything that is comparative on this level. I mean, think about it. Bethesda is a publisher. They are a major third-party publisher, and potentially they're now going to be exclusive to one platform. I don't think we've never seen this. I literally can't think of anything else that's been as big as this.
I'm looking at the chat. A cool 672, shout out to him. He says Activision and Blizzard was a kind of big one. Yeah, that was a big one.
It was, but it didn't affect the industry in this way that they were still third party. So The Blizzard games were still going to show up everywhere they showed up before. This was just more of now they had a parent company. Whereas this one is industry disrupting, because I'm telling you, you're literally taking games away from a segment of gamers on a particular platform, right? Potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll obviously see how it plays out, but yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. Look, if anybody out there is listening, knows any major, major big announcements like this level, please let us know. Yeah. Hit us up, fan mail. We'll play on the show, or we'll read it on email too. So yeah, I really gotta think about that, because I was thinking about this for days, Paris. I was like, yo, which the only ones I could think of is Rare and maybe NFL with EA Sports exclusive. Like, that's the only thing I could come up with. I don't know what else.
So and again, I know we've deeped back down into the Bethesda thing. I'll just say this one last thing, and people can go do this on their own. Go back and watch that video in September on Major Nelson when he had Pete Hines, Todd Howard, and Phil Spencer on. Just go watch it. That's all I'm going to say.
Go watch it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll watch it again.
It's interesting watching it now compared to then, and all the speculation. Just go check it out for yourself.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Gamertag Radio listeners, before we continue with the show, let's talk about our sponsor, Oregon State University eCampus. Gamers know how rewarding it is to begin a quest and see through till the end. Now, Oregon State University eCampus wants to help you complete another journey as you pursue your degree online. Oregon State eCampus is nationally ranked provider of online education, delivering over 80 programs at a distance. You can advance your career by earning a degree in fields like computer science, business, and natural resources. For the past couple weeks, I've been mentioning a lot about our sponsor, and a lot of the listeners that we have always been contacting me about learning how to do digital media, content creation, video editing, all that stuff, right? And I always give them tips, but honestly speaking, this is, to me, the best way for you, the listener, to learn about that. And plus, there's 80 programs. And right now you can go to the website and find out all the online courses that they have there, man. Plus, Oregon State is consistently ranked in the nation's top 10 by U.S. News and World Report. With eCampus students in all 50 states and more than 50 countries, you will learn alongside a worldwide network of classmates. So this is all designed to help you get where you're going faster, all right? So all you have to do is do this. Go right now to ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR to find the top-ranked program that matches your interest. GTR listeners, one more time, go to ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we have an email here from Kyle. I'm going to, it's a pretty long one, so I'm going to read only the question, but shout out to him. He's from St. Louis. He was like, he said, what IPs would you like to have like a comeback? Like, we always talk about Splinter Cell, Banjo, Perfect Dark, but I feel like original Xbox had some great games that never returned. Crazy Taxi 3, Toe Jam, and Earl 3 and 2 were games that were never for another sequel. Wait, sorry, there's a lot of typos here. He also said Bloodwig, Grabbed by the Ghoulies, Brute Force, Mech Assault, Fusion Frenzy, Conquer, Jade Empire, and so on. So what games, Paris, from Kyle, he wants to know what games we want to come back again.
Banjo-Kazooie, done.
All right. Done. I mean, we always say Banjo-Kazooie, well, but there anything besides that?
Well, I feel like we've touched on this topic a million times. I want Banjo-Kazooie. That's a game I want to see come back. And yeah, it's that one. I can't think of anything else from that era that I'm just craving to come back that hasn't already come back. We're getting another Perfect Dark, so yeah, I would say Banjo. I'm going to stick with that until it happens.
Banjo is good. I think Crimson Skies, man, that was a very special game back in the early days, man. That was a really dope game. Fusion Frenzy, I love that game a lot, but it's not like a really mainstream game, you know. Now, I tell you a game from last generation, from like the 360 days that I want for that to come back, Dead Space. I want a new Dead Space to come back. 100%. Yeah. I think it's time. It's time for
if
that
they
game.
Do,
I think,
though, if they yeah. do, I want to see it re-embrace the themes of the original as more of sci-fi horror. I thought they started to get away from that somewhat, especially by Dead Space 3. So they do. Yeah. I would love to see them re-embrace the original theme.
Yeah, like Dead Space 3, I felt like, and I don't know what it was, man. Even Capcom made this mistake too with Resident Evil. They're trying to make these games like Gears of War-ish with explosions. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, kill the vibe, man. I like the dark vibes, the scary moments from like the early days of Resident Evil. And also Dead Space 1, which was scary as hell. And and Pete, shout out to Pete. He's not here on this episode, but he's going to come back sometime in the future. But yo, I remember sending Pete to the Dead Space community event that he went to. Yo, when he came back, yo, Paris, he was just telling me how dope that game was, the theme, how scary it is and all that stuff. And there's an old audio, which I'm going to play this in the future on the show again, of Q&A with the original creators of the game on why they wanted to bring that. Because there's not, if you think about it, there's not a lot of scary games nowadays, man. It's like, it's very small. Either the creators of the medium and Layers of Fear, like they are the only ones that are really doing this like nonstop all the time with scary games, man. But I want more of that, man. You know what I'm saying? So I like games like that. Alan Wake is another one that's I think is a good one. I want that to come back. Which I think now Remedy has the rights to the game.
Yeah,
now
they got it back.
They got it back. So I think they're gonna work on a new Alan Wake. And believe it or not, there is a DLC Control. There is a DLC there all related to like Alan Wake, and there's Easter eggs too in the game that's also related to Alan Wake. So any other games, Paris?
Well, yeah, actually, I just thought of one because I forget where I just talked about this recently, but I have another one, and then I have a second thing I'm going to say. No One Lives Forever. Now I remember. I think it was something I was doing on Kind of Funny, and we're talking about game ownership, like who owns the rights to it or something. We can't remember. No one seems to know who owns the rights to No One Lives Forever anymore, because it was Monolith at one point. I who knows? But the point is, I would love to see that game come back. I think it would be perfect for this era to have that 60s in like Flint, Austin Powers-esque, James Bond, you know, spy thriller game. Oh, it'd be perfect. It would be absolutely perfect right now. Second thing I wanted to bring up, I see the chat talking about Conker. Conker was never good. I dare you to prove me wrong. Conker was never a good game. That whole Conker Bad Fur Day stuff, everyone thinks they want Conker back. If you go back and play it real time back in the day, it actually wasn't that great. It really wasn't. That wasn't the best use of Rare, in my opinion. They tried to do an edgy thing by making, you know, toilet humor and, you know, he cursed and stuff like that. Yeah. It's never a Conker guy.
Okay. Now, I didn't hate the game. Now, I tell you what I didn't like. Remember they added this multiplayer thing for the Xbox version?
Yeah.
That was trash. I didn't like that at all. That was trash. But the game wasn't that bad. It was okay. It was nice.
Hey,
it was
that bad. Like you love to poo-poo my Konami ideas?
Yeah, like, here, I'm thinking of other games that they should return from back in the days. I'm trying to think, man. Crimson Skies is a high one. That's like top of the list for me, but I don't see a game like that coming back at all. Brute Force, man, were you a fan of that game? I just didn't like that game at all.
Yeah, I think there's a reason it never came back, and I know I hear sometimes, just sticking to Xbox for a second, like Blinks People bring up Blinks. Blinks wasn't good.
It was okay. No, it wasn't that bad.
It was a good concept, but the actual gameplay itself, it wasn't that good. That's why you never saw a sequel. Oh, I do have another one because I think I enjoyed it at the launch of the 360, and I never understood why they didn't follow it up. It's Cameo. Cameo would be perfect right now. With the way the hardware goes, the fast SSD, they could have like 1,000 characters on screen and all that, change the characters. I think Cameo could work today. I would love to see that comeback.
Yeah, because look, man, Xbox is pretty good at doing mature audience games. They're not that good at making games at, I mean, I can't say not that great, but there's a very small games that they release that has like that platform type vibe, like I'm thinking of a game from back then that's exclusive for Xbox besides Cameo. Because Fable's for everybody, right? Oh, is that a mature game? Oh, that's for everyone. I can't remember. What?
Which one?
Fable. Is that a mature or that's for...
I didn't think it was. I thought it was like teen. I mean, it was just teen, like, right? It was like just fart jokes and stuff. I don't think it really did
mature. Thing. But I want more of that. Like Minecraft is the only one I can think of that's for everybody, for everyone, right?
Yeah.
But I want games like Banjo, like that type of platform. Like Nintendo's the best with that. You know, and look, PlayStation has those games, but we, you know, for Xbox fans, they don't got that, man, that much, man. It's very small. And if there is, it's from third party companies. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's a good one. Cameo. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I play more Cameo than anything else for when they launch.
Yeah, same. That's what I'm saying. It was honestly my favorite launch game at that
time. Do you finish it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Again, if you, and I'll have to find the picture. There's a picture of me at 0 hour. You can see it on the screen. I'm playing it at 0 hour. Cause I know there's pictures of me playing Perfect Dark Zero, Geometry Wars. And then yeah, Cameo.
Oh my God. Somebody mentioned, shout out to you. I'm reading the chat. Sorry for those who are listening. I don't like reading the chat that much, but during the live recording, but they mentioned Viva Pinata. Yeah, Pete, shout out to Pete. He's here. He said Katamari. Katamari is a third party game. It's not, that's from Namco Bandai. Viva Pinata is a Rare game. Yes, I want Viva Pinata to come back. And they were trying to push this as like a Pokemon game back in the like. Mm-hmm. I felt Microsoft was really trying to push this to be like the next Pokemon. They even released like a cartoon series that was coming out every weekend and stuff. Yeah, I think Viva Pinata should return because Part 2 was amazing and Part 1. I had more hours of gameplay on that game than Gears of War, believe it or not. So, yeah. All right. Anything else, Paris?
I want to transition into that because I want to make sure I get this in on the show. I want to give a shout out to Agro Crab Games. They have a game called Going Under. So when I was on Kind of Funny Daily last week, Greg Miller talked about it at the time and suggested, hey, you really should play this. Xbox, this past weekend, it's over now by the time people hear this, it was free to play if you were Xbox Live Gold member, right? So I was like, yeah, okay, let me install and play it. It was discounted. It was like $20 normal price. They discounted it down to $13 for this weekend. It's a dungeon crawler roguelike game, and it's fantastic. I love the setting of it, that it's, you're an intern in like a modern day office, and you basically are dungeon crawling, going in, and you have to take out all these monsters, and you have to use all the things in the office as weapons as you go through it. And basically it's roguelike because you'll go through, you'll die, you'll advance, get some more skills, and you have to start over, and you keep building up until you can eventually get to the end. I've not completed it yet. I'm not going to be able to, I have other stuff going on, so I'm not gonna be able to complete it before the free weekend ends, but 100% purchasing it. It is absolutely worth the price of admission. And I suggest people listening to this, go check it out. It's Going Under. Like I said, it's on Xbox, but I know it's also on Steam as well if you play on PC. So shout out to them. Fantastic game. Indie studio. It's great. And I even tweeted this. That's part of what's great about what we do, is we get to discover, part of the fun of this is discovering new games and then coming on a show like GTR and even on social media and sharing that with everyone else. So it gets more shine on these games that don't have the super big budgets, but they're still fun. I mean, that's at the whole point of this, right? It's playing fun games. And that was a fun game that got suggested to me, and I absolutely want everyone to go check it out if they can. If, like I said, if you're into dungeon crawlers, roguelike games, this is perfect. Fun setting, fun story as well.
Yeah, you know what? Lately, Paris, I've been noticing that a lot of people that, I'm not talking about you, but like other content creators that usually doesn't talk a lot about indie games are talking more about it. And that's good because
yes,
I think we've been falling with the whole AAA talk mm-hmm. all the time. And the beauty part about indie games is that they're always doing new things that other major games are not doing, man. And I've been discovering a lot of games. Like, one of my favorite games of last generation is Thumper. And you know, I play that mm-hmm. all the... Still to this day, I play that game like crazy. And I discovered that playing PlayStation VR. I was like, man, this game is cool. Can I play this without the VR? Because I usually get dizzy playing that. And yo, once I found out I could play without it, yo, it's a wrap. I was playing that nonstop. Games like Donut County. Amazing game.
Another great example.
A gem. That's a gem. Short, mm-hmm. of course, but it's a gem. So anybody that has a lot of those indie games available on any console, please let us know of other games that we should check out. I would love to try it out, man. You know what I'm saying? Because there's so many great games, man. RPG, puzzles, music, even horror. You know, like I discovered Layers of Fear. That's an indie game. And it's one of my favorite games from Bluebird Team, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's really, really cool. I'm definitely going to check that out. So it's on Xbox, you said?
I mean, like, as we're recording this, it's still free. But by the time people listen to this, the weekend will be over. And right now it's on sale for $13. And I saw it was normal price $20. Totally mm-hmm. worth it. It's a fun game. It's an absolute fun game you'd like to play. Like, again, I know you play like a lot of Minecraft Dungeons as an example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would like this. Totally in that same vein.
Definitely. I'll definitely go check it out then mm-hmm. for sure, man. All right. Anything else, Paris? Anything else before we wrap this up, man?
No, I mean, you know, I talked about it on the next cast, so I'll say it here too. You know, I'm continuing mm-hmm. my journey with Halo 5. I'm still not liking it. And it's so funny because I'll see comments on XCast because I'm openly talking about how I don't like the Halo 5 story. I know that Gary would have contributed to it. So people think that, like, I don't realize that. I do realize that. I've tried to be very respectful of that fact that he was a part of that process. But I'm also going to be honest, too, right? That, hey, if I don't like something, I don't like it. And, you know, mm-hmm. look, it's been well chronicled over the years, the issues that Halo 5 has had. And I was hoping, revisiting it 5 years later, maybe I would see something different. No, I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. I still remain hopeful that 343 has taken a lot of lessons learned from that and will apply those lessons learned to making Halo Infinite a better game than Halo 5 was. And we'll see this November. But I will say this, the positives of Halo 5 is the visuals absolutely still hold. It was one of the best looking games that Xbox has ever made. The guns feel fantastic. And the multiplayer is good. The multiplayer has always been good. It's just the level design was meant for a co-op experience, but they gave you terrible AI characters if you have to play solo. The enemy AI is not that great either. And the story is just all over the place. It is not the Halo story I wanted it to be. In my opinion, Halo 4 is a vastly superior game to Halo 5. And those are both 343 games.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Now, besides that, Paris, I know there's some chips that you got from from 343 or from Microsoft.
Yeah.
How's that? Because I know it just came out last week overall nationwide. People could go and buy it.
Matter of fact, for people that are on the stream, you can probably see these are the Pringle Wavy Moa Burger flavor. This Moa Burgers is actually a part of the Halo canon, Halo lore. They don't taste like hamburger. They taste like basically more like barbecue chips. They're not bad. They're okay. I actually enjoyed them. But yeah, Halo team sent those over to myself, Snowbike Mike, and Gary as part of XCast. And they had a nice little note for us in the package, basically, you know, telling us to enjoy the chips while we wait on Halo Infinite. And yeah, we're waiting. I'm excited for it to come and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait to try it out, man. All right, everyone, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for GamerTag Radio. Once it popped up, make sure to subscribe, follow us, and also post your review. If you would like to be part of our fanboy discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Shout out to everybody that's watching us live. So it looks like we're going to start recording every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Pacific. I think it just didn't make no sense for us to wake up at 6:30 in the morning to our time to do this live. But I think it's going to be a lot easier for not only for you, Paris, but also I see there's a lot of people that are watching here, man, that never watched us live before, you know, so on Twitch. Make sure to check it out, twitch.tv/gamertagradio. And also, P is taking he's been busy with stuff with work. He's been traveling, so in the future, we'll come back over here and join us on Sundays to request a shout-out to Pete. Right now, I think he's in New York City. Pete Rock! All right, until next time, everyone.
One last thing.
Okay, all right.
One last thing, because I got to plug stuff. So I was on a WandaVision spoiler cast with Alana Pierce last night, and the video on demand is available on her YouTube channel. We talked for an hour about the WandaVision, the series, theories, what we like, what we didn't like, you know, the future impact that series will have in the MCU. It was a good conversation. So suggest people go over to Alana Pierce's YouTube channel. Check that out. It was great. So I want to thank her for inviting me to come do it.
Dope. Make sure to check it out. Amazing, amazing series, man. So, all right. Until next time, everyone. We're out. Peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.